The response to our psalm comes from Psalm 119. And this beautiful exposition of the power of the law of God. If we noticed, I think we had maybe seven little couplets. The way of your decree, I rejoice. Your decrees are my delight. The law of your mouth is more precious. Your promises are sweet. Your decrees are my inheritance. I yearn for your commands. All throughout Psalm 119, the psalmist using different words to express the beauty, the joy that comes to us from knowing and living within God's law. It's that beautiful revelation that God the Father gives to his children to know his heart. And in Deuteronomy, that's what we hear. Like, what people has a God so close to them that they know the law of God? And so in our world today, sometimes we have a misunderstanding of what law is, the purpose of law. We seek to have as few laws as possible so that we can be free. As faithful disciples, we know it's the opposite. It's when we abide by the law of God that our hearts are truly free. It's when we abide by the law of God that we can really know God, to love him and to serve him, to worship him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. So when we encounter this psalm, it's a good point of reflection for us. How deeply do I cherish, how deeply do I know the law of God, the precepts of God, the decrees of the Lord, his commands, his promises? How sweet to my taste is your promise. Jeremiah in chapter 15 tells us, when I found your words, I devoured them. They became the joy and the happiness of my heart. What is the joy and happiness of your heart? What are you hungry for? What are you yearning for? Are you filled with the Word of God? And then like John in Revelation, and like Jeremiah, and like St. Paul, are you then compelled to go forward and preach? That fire in your belly, the knowledge of the love of God compels us forward to prophesy about great many things. You must prophesy about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings, it says in the first reading. When we encounter the truth, it's that we're impelled. It's like a compulsion. We have to go out. Then why are so many of us silent? Why are so many of us quiet when it comes to the things of the world that are so contrary to God's law, his promises, his decrees? Maybe it's because we are like the people in the temple from the gospel. Maybe we need the cleansing power of God's mercy to set us back on that straight path. That maybe we have made the temple into a marketplace. I find it kind of fitting that we have this gospel passage today on Black Friday, where everyone is out going to buy the things that they can't live without. In some way, turning their lives, their families, these holy days into the marketplace. In our baptism, we're set apart. We become the temple of God. The Word of God, the Word of God, Jesus Christ dwells within us. Do we cherish that? Do we foster that? Do we allow that love of the Father to dwell within us, to rise up within us? Or do we allow the world's lies, the whisperings of the world about what we need and what we don't need, about what it means to be truly free? Do we allow those whisperings to cloud out the voice of God deep within us? It's a beautiful, beautiful reflection for us today, especially as we come to the end of the liturgical cycle, where we celebrate Christ the King this weekend, and we're compelled to go out and prophesy about many kings. This end of the liturgical cycle, the church asks us to look and reflect upon our lives, particularly the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. How well have I responded to this exposition of the heart of the Father through these last 52 weeks? We come to the end so that in 2 weeks we can begin again, renewed and restored. Let this be like our end of the year, our New Year's Eve celebration, as we prepare to make resolutions. Resolve to live within the mercy of God. Resolve to live in God's love, within His word, within His laws, within His decrees, so that we can go out and proclaim about the King, Christ the King. Today is an ordinary day. We're wearing green. We have a few optional memorials that we could have celebrated. One of them is Blessed Miguel Agustin Pro, a priest from Mexico who died in 1927 at the hands of the government for nothing else other than being a priest and proclaiming the truth about Jesus Christ. That was his only crime, is that he preached Jesus Christ. Maybe you saw the movie called For Greater Glory, The Cristeros. These priests, these Catholics, who refused to be quiet, that fire in their belly was so strong and so loud, they had to go out and proclaim the truth. They didn't allow the threat of death by the government to keep them quiet. In these days, when the evil one seems to have so much power in the world, we should pray for his intercession, that we won't be quiet about the beautiful law, the beautiful love of the Father revealed to us through the law and through the person of Jesus Christ. We celebrate Christ the King this weekend. Blessed Miguel Pro's final words, "Vivo Cristo Rey," as he spread out his arms and was murdered by the Mexican government. All he had to do was say, "Death to Christ," and they would have let him go. But he died, "Long live Christ the King." A beautiful, beautiful inspiration and intercessor for us in these days of darkness and in trial in so many lives. The Lord comes to us at this Holy Mass, as He does at every Mass in the Holy Eucharist, the promise of eternal life. Let us use these last days of this liturgical cycle as a time of meditation and reflection. Where in our hearts have we turned ourselves over to the marketplace? Where have we, in our hearts, have we buried that word of God? Through the intercession of Blessed Miguel Pro, and through the powerful intercession of our Blessed Mother, let's ask for that fire to burn deep within us, and then be courageous, on fire with the love of God, to go out and proclaim, "Vivo Cristo Rey." Amen.